We all well know the huge upheavals so many of us experienced in our work through, even after, the height of the COVID pandemic. Still now, so many workplaces have a hybrid of working from home and a physical presence in the office. Our ability to work with each other, engage with each other, and maybe especially re-engage at work is so often determined by cultures. There's our own particular way of working and relating, and of course, different workplaces have a whole range of cultures. I'm Lynn Worsley, Director of the Resilience Centre, and in this episode of our Resilience and Reinvention series of podcasts, we're seeking to better understand all those cultures, personal and professional. Stephanie Schwartz, a registered psychologist at the Resilience Centre, has some great insights. She has worked across cultures and has an insight from her own experience, which is second to none. She's speaking with Lee Hatcher on improving engagement with a cultural lens.
Stephanie, welcome. Great to meet you.
Oh, it's lovely to be here, Lee.
Good on you. Why would you say that we need to look at these sort of cultures in ourselves and in our workplaces?
I think we operate from assumptions about ourselves and about what good and right and correct is. And these are things we're not aware that we're doing.
Yes.
It's like a fish in water and it's not aware that it's there, but it's swimming in it all the time. And we have these definitions of how to live right and work right or be a good parent or sibling in a family. We're not aware we have those definitions. And when we bump up against someone who has different definitions, yes, then we get into trouble. And so if we can have a look at what is often invisible to us, it can be a really helpful framework to understand where you and I are coming from and maybe going wrong from time to time.
Yeah. So when you say cultures, I think I'll multicultural, but this is very much of ourselves, but also organisations as well.
Oh, aren't there many layers?
Yes,
Lee?
So
we can
many.
Have cultures within our own families. My child goes to a friend's house and they notice the families do things differently. They're just different family cultures and definitions of how we go about doing life.
Yeah.
But of course, we've got broad trends between different national cultures and tribes in cultures. And so there's assumptions there that people come to believe are normative.
And it's the revelation that not everyone else is like me.
Uh-huh.
Which is quite a defining moment in life. Now, there's been some good work done on trying to define or categorise these kinds of cultures and especially how they contrast with each other. Hmm. Can you run us through briefly some of these cultures?
Yes, there are several and I've got a few pulled out that I think would be useful to reflect on today.
Good-o.
The first one is like it's got two poles, a left and a right, and on one end, if you think about how direct we are when we want to give negative feedback versus being indirect, giving negative feedback. So sometimes we feel like it's important to say something directly to someone and some cultures are very comfortable doing that. Other contexts will be very careful. They'll give you what's then the difficult part, but between sentences or statements of endorsement and warmth, and they kind of sandwich it.
Yeah.
And so they're very careful in how that negative feedback is given back to a person. The second dimension is about whether we are thinking about what's valuable in terms of being in a place versus getting things done or a doing frame. So being versus doing. At the being end, we're enjoying life and really valuing quality of life and taking things easy is normal. Whereas the doing end is much more about achieving things and accomplishing and being busy is the norm at this end.
Yes.
And so if you've got people from two ends of that, that can be problematic, of course.
Yeah.
The third dimension is around whether we're collaborative and caring for people versus competitive and outperforming one another. So the collaborative end is emphasising care and understanding, and it attends to the needs of weaker members of the community or the family, whereas the competitive end promotes aggressive, ambitious and competitive approach to the way we get things done. And, you know, it propels us towards excellence, but overlooks everyone in the picture.
Seen a bit of that.
Mm-hmm. The fourth dimension is about how we form trust. Is it based on the way people get things done or do tasks, or is it based on the way we know each other in our relationships? So the task-based end, trust grows as a result of being able to follow through reliably and deliver our commitments that we've made. Whereas at the relationship end, we form trust through our relationships by spending time together and knowing the other person. And it really values the relationships and people over tasks.
It's really interesting. I think one of the biggest issues up for grabs in our society today, in our world, is trust and how to find that or not, I suppose.
Yeah. The next dimension is around whether we will be direct in the way we confront someone, or whether we'll be very high context and imply that there's a concern or not even raise it. So the direct confrontation end values debate and conflict and sees that as a really positive thing for the relationship and values the growth that comes out of relationships. Whereas the avoid confrontation end really honours relationships by seeking harmony and making sure that we're good with one another and we're wanting to promote someone's honour rather than resolving an individual concern. The second last dimension is around whether we're thinking about the past or the future. The past is thinking about traditions and really values customs and stories and narratives, and this context really provides people with identity and gives us our place in social structure and provides a sense of belonging. Whereas our assumptions when we're thinking about the future really focuses on moving forward. The past and the present are just the starting point for moving on towards bigger and better things, and here progress and cumulative growth and development and technology are valued.
Yeah.
And then the last of the dimensions I'm talking through are universalism versus particularism. Now, universalism is about holding the value of rules being upheld for everyone, and it's fair, and standards are held up for everyone regardless of their circumstances. What is good and right is defined and coded for all members of the community, so there's no exceptions for anyone. Whereas at the particularism end of this dimension, it allows the specifics of the situation to be considered. And so our standards and contracts are modified according to the situation. So there's a bit of flex here. And coming from a particularist mindset, attention is given to the relationship obligations and our unique circumstances. So they're the seven.
I think it's a fascinating list, actually, and given for deep thought. What I notice is you didn't, with each of those often vastly contrasting kind of dynamics, you didn't say whether one was right and one was wrong.
Mm-hmm. And to be fair, as I described them, there were some where I went, yeah, that one end is more comfortable for me, but I'm aware that it's what I'm familiar with.
Yes.
But I'm aware that people from other perspectives might feel something else is a bit more comfortable, and it has value. So it's worth my while considering what are they benefiting from and what's the value that they're bringing with that lens.
Very interesting and thought-provoking. Let's get practical. So what do we actually do with an understanding of those different cultures, both in ourselves and in others, and for that matter, in organisations?
Yes. Well, naming them to start with is helpful, just to realise that the variation is there. And once we have a few dimensions that are standing out as significant, it can be helpful for us to consider, what do I feel most comfortable with and what might people around me differ in?
Hmm.
And how does that play out in my circumstance? And in fact, Lee, sometimes that can bring strength into our circumstances.
Yes.
We can hear perspectives we wouldn't naturally go to. So that reflection really comes about through our own curiosity and then to build some compassion towards how the other person is present in the situation and what their concerns might be.
Can you take us through some of the factors, both in us personally and more broadly in organisations, in workplaces, that determine these cultures?
Well, of course, there are our national ethnic cultures that would form that, the assumptions that we're growing up in, but that would be mediated mostly by the local groups that we're involved in, whether it's a community group or my family, what I'm rewarded to do and what I'm punished for, and what we teach one another. And so there's norms underneath all of that. And so we absorb that. And when we learn what some of the unspoken rules are, we're living out our place on the dimension.
Yes. You mentioned the A word, assumptions, and I've always known that making an assumption makes an ass out of you and me. So is that a danger when we talk about cultures?
Yes, you're right. Just because I'm from a particular culture, you can't assume that I have that value personally.
Yes.
So it's important to remember that we are in a spread or a range of dispositions along the dimension, and you can't make an assumption about someone else's position just because of their background. You need to get to know them.
Totally. How set are these cultures, and how hard are they to change if we feel it's necessary?
I think what would be necessary where there's a conflict is to be curious.
Oh, now that's an interesting answer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't need to try and shift the other person except to invite them to see my perspective and offer them my willingness to see the situation from theirs.
Here's the A word. It assumes they're up for that as well, I suppose.
Yeah, which is why we need to invite.
What kind of person do I end up becoming, or what kind of workplace can it become if we have perhaps a greater sensitivity, awareness, or I guess selflessness, really, to these different cultures?
That's where I get so excited because I see the possibility of being able to access other people's resources and things that can be offered into various projects or circumstances that they have something to offer. And sometimes they're not offering them because they're not going to be direct or speak up to someone with high status. But if we create a place where there's curiosity and we open our thinking up to what another person might be thinking but not saying, there might be experience and things that can be offered that we hadn't thought of. And that really enriches our whole community to be able to hear all those voices.
I'm really interested in this. And deep pause for thought, but Stephanie, you are speaking into a culture and into a society that we're all just hiving off into our own individual corners and echo chambers and throwing rocks at each other, and we're not very open-minded. Do you acknowledge that, and what's the way forward?
Yes, certainly. I'm thinking about the idea that our social media has algorithms that throw back at us the things that we experience as normal. So we need to see that we're being shaped by that process and to be willing to reach beyond it and step outside of our own echo chamber or mirrors and allow us to see other people's perspective on the world and realise they have their own experience of that.
If we're not doing that, is that because we're afraid?
I think there's a range of reasons that we might not look beyond our own circumstances. Partly we're in our own body and we can only experience the world from that. Partly because it doesn't occur to us that we can think more broadly or from new perspectives. And so having language or tools that invite us to explore in new directions can be helpful. But certainly we get, you know, as I said before, rewarded or punished to see things from a certain perspective. So there would be naturally fear to not want to step outside of that. And so, yeah, the fear would be part of that.
Yeah. What's the cure for that fear, do you think?
Yeah, I think our awareness that I know who I am and I am unique and made to be who I am for good reason, and that other people have that same existence but are shaped differently, and I can be curious and be willing to be awed and wondered and be full of wonder by what I see and receive when I ask questions and learn about them.
So to be more open, actually. Open to be influenced.
Yeah.
So is there one particular experience that you're aware of, either in psychology or in your own life or observing other cultures, where you've been able to see change from one culture to another?
Yes, well, actually, I've lived overseas from Australia. I've lived in Ethiopia and was putting a fair bit of energy in wanting to understand the culture where I was living. And I learned a bit while I was there, but I've learned a lot more since then, reflecting back on some of my interactions.
Yes.
And yeah, wish I'd known more then. But still, curiosity is the key. And so as I look back, I remember there were times when the person I had employed as my house help was giving me cues about things she wasn't happy about. And I assumed that she would raise things with me. So I think she was probably operating from a lens of avoids confrontation and wanting to be indirect in the way that she was bringing it up. And I felt like, well, she seems unhappy, but I don't know why. And I didn't think to be more creative in how I responded. So I would go back and do that differently if I could.
Yeah. What did you learn about that kind of process?
Oh, many times I look back on my relationship with her and I'm so grateful for her gracious attitude. She was very patient. And I think she actually had experience with other expats, so I can see her
kicking them into shape.
No, just so graciously living, doing life alongside and allowing us to be in her life. So, yeah, I think just that we can be full of grace towards one another as we awkwardly learn about different worldviews.
That's a great way to end a fascinating conversation, Stephanie. Thank you so much.
Pleasure, Lee.
You've been listening to a podcast in our Resilience and Reinvention series from the Resilience Centre. I'm Lynn Worsley. You'll find the other podcasts in this series and lots of other conversations and resources at www.theresiliencecentre.com.au.